श्रीला गुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय, श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्री श्री गौर नित्यानंद की जय, अबीर बाप महोत्सव तिथि श्रीला वृंदावन दास ठाकुर महाशाय की जय, श्री एकादशी की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंद हरि हरि वो। So, good morning to all of you. Welcome, Pranam. Thanks for coming. All of you all also connected online, over there, over here. So today we are celebrating the appearance day of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. So the idea is to share some words about his divine manifestation. A month ago or so, it was his Tirubhav Mahotsav, his disappearance day. So today is the Abhirbhav Mahotsav, his appearance day. As we spoke the other day for Rai Ramananda's Tirubhav Mahotsav, it's very important for us to try to take every opportunity we have to speak about the Vaishnavas, speak about the associates of Bhagavan who personify these different types of love that constitute the goal of our lives. So we are interested in divine love. If someone is the very personification of divine love, we will be very much longing to hear about those persons. So today we have one of many of them. We are very blessed to have a long list of prem-like personalities in our life, in our lineage. So this is in itself a festival. As we mentioned, as the Bhagavatam says, tadeva ramyam ruchiran navam navam tadeva sashvan manaso mahotsavam. Srimad Bhagavatam describes Harikatha in itself is always pleasurable, relishable, always new and fresh, and constitutes a permanent, perpetual festival for the mind. So Harikatha in itself is described as sashvan manaso mahotsavam, a great mahotsavam, great festival for one's mind. So sometimes we organize festivals, but actually Harikatha is in itself a festival. So we organize the festival, we have to put some promotion and so on, but in our heart we know just getting together and speaking about Hari and his associates, that's in itself the festivity. Everything else is there, surrounding, but I mean, Krishna himself is described as a festival for the eyes. His beauty in itself is a festival. So to speak about that festival is in itself a festival of that Harikatha. So today we have one of those festivals. Again, remember, we don't need like big event or different course to have a festival, just to have the chance to speak Harikatha's festival. So Vrindavan Das Thakur is today's object of celebration, if you will. And today's his appearance day. So I'd like to share some words about himself, his life, and specifically his work in connection to his famous Chaitanya Bhagavat. Somehow we extend our diving into Gaur Lila conversations. Keeps sprinkling and overflowing to some other days. So to begin with, let's speak about Vrindavan Das Thakur's mother. Every one of us always have some debt to one's mother, so Vrindavan Das Thakur is no exception to the rule, especially considering who his mother was. The mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur was Narayani, who was an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As a child, she was a child when Mahaprabhu met her for the first time. She was like 4 years or something like that, 4 or 5 years. And it is said that whenever he will see her, he will give her his own remnants of prasad. And so you can imagine as a child being directly fed in your mouth by Mahaprabhu himself with his own remnants. No? That speaks in itself. We can finish the lecture there. That's enough. And as we know later, when Mahaprabhu showed Mahaprakash Lila, this like multi-manifestation pastime during 21 hours, when he was showing all these different faces of the Absolute and how all of them were coming from him. And of course, he did that also trying to assure Srivas Thakur and his family that there's no danger, because at that time Muslims and some others were kind of threatening and to disturb the Sankirtan that was taking place at that time in Sri Vasangam. And Chankasi was there, we know the whole story. So Mahaprabhu showed them this unique form, among other reasons, to show there's nothing to fear. So when he was showing that, he told them, bring all your family, he said to Sriva, bring all your family, Narayan included, and so on. And he said, I will also live not only free you from all fear, but I will stop this banning of the Sankirtan, and I will make everyone chant Harinam, even animals and beasts. Nobody will be saved from that, if you will. Everyone will be saved. So as part of that example of making everyone chant Harinam in ecstasy, not just chant Harinam, because you can tell someone, say Krishna, Krishna, and it's okay, great, but Mahaprabhu will just make everyone chant in ecstasy and roll off the ground and pass out and so on. So he called Narayani, who at that time was 4 years old. So Mahaprabhu said to Narayani, chant Krishna's name in ecstasy. Not only say Krishna, but cry out Krishna in ecstasy. So Narayani followed suit, being empowered by Mahaprabhu's instruction, and she started to cry, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and starts to cry and cry rivers of tears and to roll on the ground with all the sattvic bhavs appearing in her, just 4 years old. So everyone was like, okay, it seems we have nothing to fear here. So, and of course, Narayani was there because she was the, how do you say in English, the niece of Srivast Thakur. That's the family connection. And she was the daughter of Nalina Pandit, who was one of the brothers of Srivast Thakur. So eventually, of course, she was married. She gave birth to Vrindavan Das. And the father of Vrindavan Das was called by Kunthanath, and he passed away relatively sooner. Even it is said that Vrindavan Das Thakur was still in the womb. And Vrindavan Das's father passed away. So at that moment, Narayani, with Vrindavan Das in her womb, she moved to Srivast Thakur's house. And that's where all these pastimes took place with Mahaprabhu that I was sharing with you. No? So that regarding Vrindavan Das Thakur's mother, Srimati Narayani Devi Ki Jai. Some words about Sri Vrindavan Das himself and his identity. Again, we go to Gaur Ganodesh Deepika for a moment. This famous book which shows the who is who regarding Krishna Lila and Gaur Lila. So Kavi Karnapur, the author of Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, mentions that ascribes two identities to Vrindavan Das Thakur. Again, let's make things complicated for a while. On one side, he's saying Veda Vyas. He's Veda Vyas. He became Veda Vyas, the famous compiler of Vedic canon. And also he says the cowherd boy Kushumapit entered into Vrindavan Das Thakur. So he's ascribing these two identities, Veda Vyas and Kushumapit, who is a gopa in Vrindavan. So again, how to accommodate this? There are different ways. I personally will think, if you study as you can do, of course you should, Chaitanya Bhagavat, you will very clearly realize Vrindavan Das Thakur is in Sakya Rasa. I mean, there's no way of doing away with that one. So that's, I mean, you can very easily connect, okay, he's Kushumapit in Braj, he's a gopa, and then Gaur Lila, he's showing that affinity as well. So why Vyasa? Well, because he was the writer of Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Chaitanya Bhagavat is the natural extension of Srimad Bhagavatam. Remember, we spoke the other day about this analogy. I mean, there are different analogies we can give, but one of them is, as we said, Srimad Bhagavatam originated, if you want, originated. It's eternal, but in planet Earth, manifested through Vyasa in Samadhi in the Himalayas. He had his ashram there in Badarik ashram. So the Himalayas come from, the Ganges come from the Himalayas and gradually come down and eventually reach the Bay of Bengal where it meets the ocean and it finds final fulfillment. So similarly, the Bhagavatam originates in the Himalayas, goes down, and that revelation called Bhagavatam finds its higher point in Navadvip, in the Bay of Bengal, in the form of Gaur Lila, in the form of Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Srimad Bhagavatam becomes Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's the same idea, the same book. The Bhagavatam, as we said the other day, Srimad Bhagavatam concludes, last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is Nam Sankirtanam Jasya Sarva Papa Pranasanam, and so on. So the last verse of Bhagavatam puts us at the feet of the Sankirtan of Mahaprabhu, Gaur Lila. So naturally, one Bhagavatam is taking us to another Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavatam. It's important to understand this like dynamic nature of revelation. No, it's not just, okay, this one book, stop there, nothing else can be said. You see how the Goswamis took the Bhagavatam and started to say so many other things. And you say, that's also the Bhagavatam? What the Bhagavatam is revealing to us is like a general idea of all that happens in Krishna Lila. It's not that only that is possible in Krishna Lila, nothing else can happen. No, Bhagavatam is giving some overview. This is Krishna Lila. The Goswamis are taking that overview and expanding. You read, I don't know, Jiva Goswami's Gopal Shampu, and you realize, but this is not in the Bhagavatam. Yeah, but Jiva Goswami is a member of the Lila. He's inhabiting there, he knows what's going on there, and he's telling you some further details. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur putting all this conversation in between the verses of the Bhagavatam that are not in the book, but are there in between the lines if you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. So, in this way, we could say that Vyasadeva, Sri Vyasadeva, as we know in the Bhagavad, right from the Bhagavatam itself, he was unsatisfied at one point in his writing career, if you want to put it like that, after compiling such a monumental corpus like the Veda, Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata, and so on. You should be pretty satisfied after such a result, but he was unsatisfied. Somehow he had this lack of fulfillment, accomplishment. So as we know, Narad Muni comes into a scene, explains why he was unsatisfied. He was not very clear into emphasizing the position and glories of bhakti. So he gave that homework. He lovingly chastised his disciple and sent him to samadhi. Interestingly, Narad Muni told Vyasa, go and enter into samadhi. That's my homework. And in that, what you need to be fulfilled will be revealed. So Vyasadeva entered into samadhi and composed, or Bhagavatam revealed to him, and he composed that. That's the language of the Bhagavatam, Samadhi Bhasha. To say, you have Braja Bhash, but Bhagavatam is in Samadhi Bhash. We could say it's Sanskrit, overtly, but substantially Samadhi Bhash, the language of trance. That's how the Bhagavatam was written. So we could say after that, Vyasadeva attained fulfillment as an author. He retired. He retired from the writing career, basically. But eventually, when Gaur Lila was manifesting, he came out of his retirement, we could say, as Vrindavan Das Thakur and Chaitanya Bhagavat, the appendix to Krishna Lila, as we say the other day, Parishishta Lila. So we could think of Vrindavan Das Thakur not necessarily as literally being Vyasadeva, but being engaging in the function of Vyasadeva, being empowered to continue extending the revelation. Because also when we say Vyasa, Vyasa doesn't mean one single person, but speaks about the post. You have heard about different names for different Vyasas, basically. Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. That's one Vyasa. There are many other Vyasas. So Vyasa is like the post. Vyasa means compiler, actually. As you say, Brahma. Who is Brahma? You can be Brahma if you want. Maybe after Brahma Stuti you may prefer to skip that possibility. But the point is, Vrindavan Das Thakur is mostly considered this as this Gopa in Sakyabhav, and the connection with Vyasadeva may be in terms of how he revealed Chaitanya Bhagavat. So let's share some words about these two points. Now, the Sakya Rasa side of Vrindavan Das Thakur and his presentation of Chaitanya Bhagavat, which are two very interesting ideas. So regarding Sakya Rasa, as we have been speaking a little bit these days, it's a very interesting current that is part of our Sampradaya. It's not the main current, as we know. The main current, I mean, Gaudiya Sampradaya is saturated with Manjari Bhav. That's the officially main current, if you want to put it like that. But there is a very interesting influence in of Sakya Rasa from the very beginning of our Sampradaya. As I said the other day, the very first member of the Gaudiya Sampradaya is Brahma. And Brahma was in Sakya Rasa, as we saw. If you want to connect Narad Muni, the next person, if our parampara, Narad Muni, we said the other day, Jiva Goswami says Narad Muni is an expansion of Madhu Mangal. So Madhu Mangal is someone else in Sakya Rasa there. If you want to connect Vyasa somehow with Vrindavan Das Thakur, you have Sakya Rasa again. And if you start to go further, to Gaur Lila, the beginning of the Sampradaya, even before the Goswamis wrote all these books that we were speaking yesterday, that they systematized our theology, Nityananda Prabhu couldn't wait for that. Nityananda Prabhu went to Bengal and started knocking doors, as we say, with his Dwadasa Gopals, his associates from Braj, all of them in Sakya Rasa, and they became the first initiating gurus in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And all of them were in Sakya Rasa. So you could say the first acharyas, if you want to speak as acharyas, initiating guru, from the time of Mahaprabhu, were all these in Sakya Rasa, Dwadasa Gopal. So many Sakya Rasa lineages were there, basically. And Vrindavan Das Thakur is here as well. So I'm saying all that for in case we may choose the racist option, and which is not a fact. No? To be racist in the context of Rasa, that's not a good conclusion. And what to speak if we want to, as we were speaking yesterday, to appreciate Srila Prabhupada's own affinity. If you go in detail, you will realize he has that affinity as well. And Prabhupada created such a huge wave of influence, devotional influence in the whole world. I mean, inundating the whole world. And his affinity is present there, whether we know it or not. So I'm saying this to understand there's a place for this type of moods. And it's not like bad or against whatever, Mahaprabhu or something to that effect. So we actually, I mean, if we know something about Mahaprabhu, let's put it in this way, in great part is because of the influence of Sakya Rasa, the influence of Nityananda Prabhu specifically, who is again the very form of Sakya Bhava, Baladev in Gaur Lila. For example, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is one of the main biographies for us, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Nityananda Antaryami. Nityananda is my Antaryami. Vrindavan Das Thakur doesn't have Paramatma there, as Nityananda Prabhu. If you make him open your chest like Hanuman did, as you know, Hanuman, famous picture, who was inside of Hanuman's heart?
Sita.
Paramatma? No.
Sitaram.
His sister there. If you tell Vrindavan Das Thakur, let's do the same. Open your chest, Nityananda Antaryami. And he will say, Nityananda Antaryami dictated all this to me, actually. I'm just instrumental in writing Chaitanya Bhagavat. So in one sense, you could say, we owe Chaitanya Bhagavat to Nityananda Prabhu. Because of him, we have Chaitanya Bhagavat. And what about Chaitanya Charitamrita? As we know, when Krishnadas Kaviraj was in the house of his brother, Minaketam Ramdas went there, who was an associate of Nityananda Prabhu, who was in Sakya Bhava. And Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother didn't appreciate Minaketam Ram. He was too eccentric. I mean, he was from the group of Nityananda, Abadut, so you have to be eccentric. So his brother said to Krishnadas, I like Mahaprabhu, but I don't like Nityananda Prabhu and all that follows from him. And of course, Krishnadas could have said, this is Ardha Kukuti Nyaya, which means half hell logic. You know the idea, no? You have a hen, and it's giving you eggs from one hole, but taking your money from another hole because you have to feed him. So the person will think, oh, better I cut the head and I just have the hole who gives me money. Wrong equation. So the same idea is like this. I like Mahaprabhu, but I don't like Nityananda Prabhu. So I skip Nityananda and go straight to Mahaprabhu. Half-hand logic, no business, no longer any more business there. So Krishnadas Kaviraj heard this. My brother doesn't like Nityananda Prabhu. Immediately he thought, I'm leaving this house right now. That was his determination. I cannot stay in a place where Nityananda Prabhu is not appreciated. That's not me. That's not my place. And he made his mind, tomorrow I'm leaving this house. I don't know where. I don't have where to go, but I cannot stay here. And that night, as you know, Nityananda Prabhu revealed to him in a dream, along with his Dwadasa Gopals, all of them dancing and singing, accompanied by horns and flutes. What message did he receive? Go to Vrindavan, and there you will find your home, fulfillment, service, everything. So next day he woke up after that epiphany and walked straight to Vrindavan. And when he went to Vrindavan, as we know, he received from the local Brajavasis the service, please. Vrindavan Das Thakur didn't elaborate in detail the pastimes of Mahaprabhu in Puri. Please do that yourself. And he goes to the deity of Madan Mohan, asking for blessings, and the garland of Madan Mohan fell on Krishna Das. So my point is, and then it's Chaitanya Charitamrita begins, his writing of it. So the background of his writing of Chaitanya Charitamrita, again, is Nityananda Prabhu telling him, go to Vrindavan, do that. So if you take out Nityananda Prabhu from the equation, personification of Sakya Bhava, we wouldn't have Chaitanya Bhagavad, we wouldn't have Chaitanya Charitamrita, we wouldn't know that much about Mahaprabhu himself. So we owe a lot to Srinitai, Chant Ki Jai. Enubini Nitai Bhai, Radha Krishna Bhai Tanai, Chins Lachandas. If you want Radha and Krishna, go to Nitai. Tara Kavinitar Chant Karuna Hoibe Samsara Vasana Mora Kavitacha. Many songs about go straight to Nitai. Nitai Gaur. Gaur Nityananda are the Samasti Gurus of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, or the universal Guru principle for us. That's why Vrindavan Das Thakur, and going to the Chaitanya Bhagavat here, he begins the Chaitanya Bhagavat. The very first verse of Chaitanya Bhagavat is the one I recited in my Mangala Charana. Janu Lambita Bujokana Kavadatu Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Takshu Vishwambaro Dhyabaro Jugadharma Pal Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavatar. This is one of the two main pranam mantras through which we can offer our life to Nitani and Gaur. So he's saying, they who have this Gaur Nityananda have long arms, elongated lotus eyes, Ajana Lambita Bujokana Kavadat, their luster is totally, is brilliant. Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya, they are the fathers of Sankirtan. Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya, Bishwambaro Duyabaro, all this in plural. Although Mahaprabhu Vishwambar, this verse is calling the two of them as Vishwambar, which is the maintainers of the universe. Dvijabaro, they are the topmost of all brahmanas. Yugadharma Pala, they are the protectors of Yugadharma. And therefore, Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavatar. I offer my pranam to those who are the dearest most of the whole universe, who are Karunavataro. Karuna, the most merciful descent of the divine. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, interestingly, his Chaitanya Charitamrita, also, not in the first verse, but the second verse, so it's almost there. He says, Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahadito Godadaya Pushvavanto Chitra Sangdo Tamonado. Another famous verse for offering pranam to Gaur Nityananda. I offer pranam to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahadito Godadaya Pushvavanto Chitra Sangdo Tamonado. They appeared simultaneously on the horizon of Godadesh, of Navadvip, like the sun and moon appearing simultaneously, which of course doesn't happen. You never see sun and moon rising at the same time. You see one rising and the other one leaving, basically. But the two of them are coming. Mahaprabhu compared to the sun, Nityananda, to this cooling moon in this case. So the point is, there is something extraordinary. You never see sun and moon coming together. So if that's going on, something really extraordinary is going on. And it says, Godadai Pushpavanto Chitra Sangdo Tamonudo. Chitra means like chamatkar, like something totally astonishing. And they are dispelling all darkness of this age of Kali and Samonudo. And they are giving the highest thing, basically. And therefore, Bandi, you know, I offer my pranam and life to them. So just to make it clear how much these two are so crucial for us as Gaudiya Vaishnava, Sri Sri Gaur Nityananda Ki Jai. So, indeed, Vrindavan Das Thakur, going back to the one who is having his birthday today, his deities were Gaur Nityananda. He worshipped Gaur Nityananda. You can still go to his place called Mamgachi, and you can have darshan of Vrindavan Das Thakur's Gaur Nityananda deities. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, going to him and the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he had a very unique connection with Nityananda Prabhu, to say that he was the last disciple. He was a disciple of Nityananda directly. And that was the last disciple of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And it is said that under whose order he wrote, actually, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Nityananda Prabhu ordered himself to do so. And he's also Brindavanadas Thakur, the author of a few songs. Some other books are ascribed to him, but this is not something quite... There's not consensus. Not everyone agrees that he wrote it. But Chaitanya Bhagavat, everyone agrees. And that's, of course, his main work. So in Chaitanya Bhagavat, of course, as I mentioned, you will find a very strong emphasis on Sakya Rasa, a very strong emphasis on Nityananda Prabhu, a lot. Interestingly, in the beginning of the book, Brindavanadas Thakur will announce, give like a summary about what he will be speaking throughout the book, from beginning to end. That's classical in some of these works. At the beginning and maybe at the end, maybe making some summary of what it was spoken about. So you say, I will be speaking about all the things. And then the book starts. So when you study the whole book, you realize, but some of the things he told he was going to speak, he never spoke. And why? Because it's said that at the end he became so much absorbed in glorifying Nityananda Prabhu. More. End of the book. And he didn't speak about the other thing. So some may consider that that's a defect. Somehow he didn't make his promise. He didn't speak about what he announced he will speak. He got distracted by Nitai Kata. Lost and found. No, we pray for that destruction. I remember once I was speaking with a god sister of mine some years ago, and I asked her, I knew she was studying Chaitanya Charitamrita for some years, so that visit I went to her, I asked her, so how is your study of Chaitanya Charitamrita? And she told me like, oh Maharaj, I got stuck in Ramananda Sambhad. And I was like, that's great. I hope I can get stuck in such a place forever. That's the idea of studying Shastra. You find certain sections that you feel, I want to enter here for eternity. I mean, this is a portal. This is a calling here. I want to get stuck. Stuck there. So Vrindavan Das got stuck in Nityananda Prabhu's glories. So that's a pretty interesting stucking, basically. So someone may consider this a defect, but actually that's an ornament. In Sanskrit, you call that Dushana Ambhushana. Dushana means defect. So someone say, that's Dushana. Who will say, no, that's Bhushana. Bhushana means ornament. Like similarly when, I don't know, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is showing Vishvarup, universal form, to Arjuna. Arjuna starts to pray. He also sees Sakyabhava, but his Sakyabhava, as we know, is a little bit different, because when he sees Samaishwarya, his Sakya recedes to the background. He starts to beg forgiveness to Krishna. Sorry that I sit with you in the same bed and I spoke to you as my friend, now realizing who you are. So his Sakya is different from that of the Brajavasis, that as we know, if Krishna shows us Aishwarya, like we said the other day, Krishna is lifting Govardhan, and his friends will say, give the hill to Sridham, he's stronger than you, and take some rest. They are not thinking like, oh my gosh, sorry for treating you like a friend. They increase their friendship when Krishna shows Aishwarya. They become even more friends. So Arjuna is in another situation, and when Krishna did that, he offers all these prayers that we find in the Gita, 11th chapter. And some of those verses, regarding the meter of the verse, some of them are irregular. So some may say, oh, that's a defect. No? But the commentators have said, no, that serves to underscore Arjuna's emotional moment. So he's speaking in a quote-unquote faulty way. But since that serves to underscore his emotion, that's actually an ornament. That's Bhushana. That's not Dushana. So again, Brindavanadas Thakur got absorbed in Nitai Katha. And he described, of course, Mahaprabhu's lilas, childhood lilas mostly, Navadvip lilas. That's the speciality of Chaitanya Bhagavat. The focus on Navadvip, which is, of course, for us very important, because our ultimate window of opportunity we want to enter for eternity in regards to Mahaprabhu is Navadvip, Nitya Navadvip. But again, he didn't write that much about the Antilila of Sri Gauranga, Jagannath Puri Lila. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami did that compliment, and he always makes that clear in his own book. He always refers back to Brindavanadas Thakur and how what he's doing is just a service to him, if you want, like that, no? Which is a very nice way of writing a book, no? Like, of being freed from the ego of, okay, I'm here, I am writing my book, and I'm the main character, and no. We are interested in what we may call transpersonal authorship. Mm-hmm. I'm not writing the book. Like he said, Nityananda Antaryami, he wrote, I'm not writing it. Of course, I'm nowhere close to that, but somehow by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj and the Vaishnava, I have some glimpse of that while writing my book, in the sense that generally we may think I'm writing a book and others are to read my book. But actually, in the process of writing, many moments I've thought, someone else is writing this, and I am the one who is witnessing the writing. So this is for me, and someone else is writing. It's not I am the writing, and this is for you. So that's an important experience that we need to seek after, transpersonal authorship. So again, I would like to mention a few points concerning this possibility of Nityanavadvipa as an extension of our Gaur Katha and diving into Gaur Lila, because Chaitanya Bhagavata is emphasizing this point, Navadvipa. Chaitanya Bhagavata won't speak about directly Nityanavadvipa, but we'll speak about the Bhoma Navadvipa, the earthly Lilas. But that serves for us as a meditation on what's going on eternity there. So to begin with, and this is something, of course, I plan to write in the next book, and I've written already some articles about the whys and hows of a Nityanavadvipa and how it is actually possible for a Nityanavadvipa to exist, although the Goswamis have never written about that. So yesterday we were speaking about how for us Gaudiyas, the books of the Goswamis constitute Shastra along with Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's our main Praman. So someone might say, well, Maharaj, you say that yesterday, but now you're speaking about Nityanavadvipa. The Goswamis never spoke about that. And you plan to write a whole book about that? But the Goswamis did not spoke about that. That's sometimes called Abhava Praman, which means, Abhav means non-existence. Bhava means existence. Abhav means non-existence. So the evidence of non-existence, which basically means, since the Goswamis in this case have not spoken about this, then it cannot be real. Sometimes that idea is there. Of course, interestingly, most of the Gaudiya, members of Gaudiya lineages, they accept the possibility of Nityanavadvipa, with one that I know of, at least one exception, some group in the line of Advaita Parivar. Not all, but some. But interestingly, at the same time, the Goswami has not spoken about that, but that doesn't mean that that's not possible. There's places we spoke these days for developing the Siddhanta in such a way that it's not contradicting the Siddhanta. Do you follow my point? For example, the Goswamis never spoke about Gadadhar Pandit being Sri Radha, which doesn't mean, therefore, she cannot be Sri Radha. It just means that they were concentrating on giving a particular presentation at the time. It's not that they had to say everything at that moment. They said quite a lot. And eventually other personalities complemented with that, even at that same time. Indeed, the Goswamis never spoke that much about Mahaprabhu himself. So if you follow this idea, you have only what the Goswamis said is true, then Chaitanya Bhagavata is not important, Chaitanya Charitamrita is not important, because the six Goswamis did not speak about Mahaprabhu in that dev level. So we are to deny the whole Leela because of that? Hopefully not. You follow my point. So there is place for further revelation on the basis of our original revelation. And the ones who started to speak about Mahaprabhu's Nitya Leela in Navadvipa actually were direct associates of Mahaprabhu. We are not saying even this happened like 300 years after Mahaprabhu. Like Gopal Guru Goswami, he was direct associate of Mahaprabhu. Even Mahaprabhu in some way took him as his guru on one level. That's why he's called Gopal Guru Goswami. Famous story that Mahaprabhu couldn't stop chanting Harinam, and he was entering the bathroom and he was trying like to catch his tongue or something, to make some knot in the tongue or something. And Gopal Guru said, he started to quote different verses from Shastra about how he could do that without a problem. Harinam goes beyond all situations and so on. Mahaprabhu said, okay, you are my guru. You have instructed me in such a way. Yes.
Was he a child?
Yeah, yeah. At that time he was a child. But interestingly, Mahaprabhu took him as his guru. Which is, of course, speaks a lot about how the idea of accepting a guru. Of course, there are different ways of speaking about accepting a guru, but it doesn't have to do anything at all with age, or body, nationality, gender, and so on. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, is one of the main examples. You have Parikshit Maharaj, who is a man with experience in the world. He was the emperor of the whole planet, relatively elder person. And who was his guru?
Naked 16-year-old.
Thanks for making the proper emphasis. You follow my point. Yeah. You follow my point. I mean, you are the emperor of the world, you have all experience, you know so much, and you are looking for a guru. And suddenly this naked 16-year-old boy appears, and Parikshit Maharaj, that's my guru. He went beyond all these relativities, and he's my guru. Sometimes we may think, oh no, I will only accept a guru who is... We have all our list of conditions before even meeting the guru, and that's probably why we are not meeting our guru. He should be Indian, he should be man, he should be long beard, dreadlocks ideally. All this list of externals, if you will. Of course, there are some things that we should look for in a guru, as we spoke yesterday, but these are not necessarily those. No? Kiva vipra, kiva nyasi, sudra jnanai, si Krishna tattva vetta, si guru. And interestingly, as we know, Sukadeva Goswami was, Parikshit accepted Sukadeva as his guru, and eventually who was in the audience even listening? Vyasadev, who is Sukadev's own father and guru, and Narad, who is Param Guru of Sukadev. So the point is, it's not that they felt, oh no, he's my disciple, I don't have anything to learn from him. They realized, oh, someone with realization is about to speak the Bhagavatam. We must be there. Something new will come for sure. So these things are important to consider. And they are right there in the Bhagavatam. We don't need to go to some obscure reference that nobody knows. That's in your face, if you will, to show us. Mm. Mahaprabhu here accepting Gopal Guru, the child. Oh, you are my guru, he told him, to a child. He was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these things make important points for us. So Gopal Guru was the one who spoke to begin with about the possibility of a Nitya now, the beginning. He was a direct associate of Mahaprabhu, whom Mahaprabhu considered to be my guru. His disciple, Dhyanachandra Goswami, he continued elaborating on that on his Gaur Govindarchana Padati, and so on, some other personalities. The Goswamis didn't speak about that directly, but I would argue they spoke about that indirectly. What do I mean by this? For example, the Goswamis over and over again referred to Mahaprabhu as avatar, like divine descent. Of course, he's avatari, but he's also avatar in the sense of he's performing his lila on earth. So on one side they say Mahaprabhu is avatar. On another side they say every avatar has his corresponding abode in the spiritual world. So you just have to put the two things together and the conclusion is he has an abode. They didn't say it directly, but you have also to play out the implications of Shastra and use your logic and intelligence to connect these dots, if you will. Or Rupa Goswami, his Chaitanyastakam, he wrote a Chaitanyastakam. He wrote three, actually, not only one. It was not enough for him, only one. And in one of them, he says, Sada Upasya. Mahaprabhu is perpetually worshipable. So that means there has to be a perpetual abode in which he's worshipped for eternity. That's how the Charis have understood that. So again, if we only take what the Goswami say, then we have to do away with all the Gaur-lila basically described by Krishna Das and Vrindavan Das. So that's not the idea. So the Goswami is mostly concentrated on describing Krishna Lila, Radha Krishna Lila. My Guru Maharaj likes to say the Goswami spoke about Gaur-lila indirectly. In which way? They spoke about Radha Krishna Lila, but in such a way that you will naturally conclude by reading that, where's Gaur Lila? There has to be a Gaur Lila to fulfill the need of Krishna Lila. They describe Krishna Lila in such a way, showing Krishna has a need. There reaches a point that there's something missing. They made that point. So they wrote about Krishna in such a way that they will take the reader to wonder, where's Mahaprabhu? To look for Mahaprabhu. They didn't point it to that directly, but they did that indirectly. Parokshavat, indirect speech, which is very pleasing to Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Paroksham Mama Chapriyam. I really like indirect speech, he says. When things I say like obviously, overtly, and everyone understands, that's not so tasty, that's boring. But everything is crooked. I mean, Krishna is crooked. Not only Tribhanga Lalita, but he's crooked in every sense of the term. Love moves in a crooked way. So when things are crooked, and in between the lines, and no, and everyone understands something, but the real connoisseurs know what's going on, rasa is there. That's where real experience of rasa is there. So, and for me, it's interesting also because those who argue that there is no Nitya Navadvi because the Goswami didn't say that directly, all of them follow what we call Manjari Sadhana or Lila Smaranam or this system of Siddha Pranali, which was not also directly established by the Goswamis. You follow my point. So if you want to make the case only what the Goswamis said clearly is to be followed, well, that main aspect of your sadhana has not been directly clearly said by the Goswamis. I'm not condemning that. I'm just saying that was not mentioned by the Goswamis. So you take that part, but the other part you don't take, so it's like cherry picking, basically. So again, there is place for all of the Goswamis gave their particular revelation, there is place for playing out the implications of what they said, and if you will, extend the Siddhanta in a way that is not contradictory to the original Siddhanta. That will be called Abiruddha Pramam. Abiruddha means not incompatible. So Abiruddha Pramam is a type of evidence that is not incompatible with the original form of revelation. Let me share you some brief quote from Srila Prabhupada about that was the one that I was looking for yesterday. We were speaking, I was not able to find. In relation to this dynamic spirit of contributing with further insights in our lineage. So this, he was saying on June 14th, 1970, Srila Prabhupada says, if a previous acharya has written something, so in this way the present acharya will not touch those points, but he will write something which can develop further. That is acharya, not that two in the truth. Something has written something and he's also writing the same thing. No, he says. If he at all writes, he will write something which will beautify or glorify or magnify the former idea. Philip Prabhupada Ki. So that's real progressive spirit to contribute to. That's parampara, as we were speaking yesterday. It's not just I limit myself to do my copy-paste from the past, but no. I do not limit myself with all respect to what Srila Prabhupada said, but also think what he will be saying now. Will he be saying exactly the same thing in every single topic he spoke about that he said in the past, or he will say something different about something? So he will continue developing what he say. For sure he will. So that's the concern of a proper student. You know, how, and of course, what Prabhupada will say now, well, he's not saying that himself here, but we should be saying those things that he will be saying at present. Mm-hmm. That's parampara. That's the representative of the previous acharya and so on.
So, what was that quote?
June 14th, 1970. Yeah. So that's for me, yeah, pretty clear. And this connection of we can develop the Siddhanta, we can develop the presentation in a way that is not contradictory, but it's in a way that, as he says, beautifies, no? Glorifies. It's a spirit of glorification of our previous acharyas, not trying to take their place or anything, and magnify. Everything can keep growing and expanding. Mm-hmm. So there are many reasons, again, many ways in which we can justify this possibility of Nitya Navadvi, but I will say that the main one for me is based on common sense, and we mentioned that the other day, which is, okay, Krishna's Mahaprabhu wants to taste Radha Bhav. That's the main reason behind the Gaur avatar, if you will. But tasting Radha Bhava is an unending experiment. Radha Bhava is a bottomless ocean. So Krishna never can find the end to that. So he can, since he can never find the end to that, there has to be a place and a lila where he's eternally dedicated to taste that forever, forever. For me, that's the most logical and commonsensical way of concluding. There has to be an eating out where Krishna is eternally absorbed in that, as we say, there's a laboratory for forever, trying to taste that over and over again. Mm-hmm. So again, although Vrindavan Das Thakur, going back to that and just concluding, Vrindavan Das Thakur has not spoken directly about Nitya Navadvip, he has depicted Navadvip Lila in a way that we can have a glimpse of that eternal reality. And he speaks about a little bit indirectly about that. He says that if you read that chapter, if you do that, you will get free from this world and go to Mahaprabhu's abode. Things like this he will say. Oh, Mahaprabhu has come from his abode here. For me that's pretty clear, but anyhow. He pointed to that somehow and he gave us this very beautiful picture of the Navadvip Lilas of Mahaprabhu. And just to conclude, one more element that is very very interesting and very classical of Vrindavan Das Thakur style, and we can connect that again further with back to his Sakyabhav spirit. The Sakas like to wrestle a lot. Mm-hmm. The Gopas, that's what they know how to do. You know, for example, when the Gopas, Krishna and Balaram, went with some Gopas to the arena of Kamsa, they were invited to wrestle. They were, in their Braja psychology, they were like, these people are inviting us to wrestle. They are so foolish because we are so expert in wrestling. That's what the Gopas are doing all day. I mean, if they know to do something, which play do they know most? Wrestling. So they're inviting us to wrestle, and we are experts in wrestling. We will defeat all of them. And they were kids, of course. No, they were going to fight this Chanura Musika, great. But they were in this bhava, like, I mean, we are wrestlers. We know how to do that. That's the thing we do all day. We are playing wrestling all day. And they did, of course. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, again, is in this Sakyabhav spirit. So he likes wrestling. He has this Bidaras spirit, this chivalry mood. And that's why we will find in his Chaitanya Bhagavata that things like, if you blaspheme Sri Nityananda, I'm ready to kick the head of that person. It's like, okay, oh my gosh, what's that? Is that humility? I mean, you can say that's his humility. Again, another way, another very unusual way of, because you may be saying, but we know the humility of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Jagai Madai Haiti Muni, Shepapishta Purishirakita Haiti Muni Shilagisa, more sinner than Jagai Madai, lower than the worm stool, and all this type of, okay. And we go to Vrindavan Das and he says, I'm ready to kick the head of whoever blasphemes Nitai. So it's like, how that's humility? And we know that Srila Prabhupada really followed Vrindavan Das Thakur's footsteps. He will say, I will kick the head with boots. He will magnify the contribution of the previous achar. That's parampara. You have to magnify, you have to beautify, you have to glorify the previous. So Vrindavan Das Thakur say, I'll kick your head. Prabhupada say, I will kick your head with boots. Now, so now we have to think a higher level of...
Steel toe.
Yeah. This is parampara. Dynamic contribution here by Dev Madhav Prabhu. So of course we may wonder, I mean, how does resemble, I mean, kicking your head, how you connect that with Trinada, Pisanichena, I mean, the spirit of a Vaishnava that we would follow. And of course, maybe difficult to understand, but the spirit of that is that every time Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, if you blaspheme Nitai, I will kick your head, immediately that will invoke the presence of Nityananda to intervene in the name of his devotee. Mm-hmm. No? So if you blaspheme Nityananda, you say, I'll kick your head, Nityananda will come, what's going on here, what's my devotee about to do? Oh, he kicked my head. Mm-hmm. And Nitai says, it's okay, no problem, I'll take care of you directly. So he's kicking your head, he's immediately calling Nityananda to directly intervene. No? So that's the highest form of mercy. That's the idea. No? You receive, and to receive the kicking of someone like Vrindavan Das Thakur, of course, like Tadabhar Sanhai Kripal Lakshan, says Shastra. Chastisement is the real symptom of mercy. I mean, we are not masochists, but if Guru is showing chastisement, that's a special type of mercy. At least to begin with, we shouldn't make difference between how mercy expresses itself in our lives. Srila Prabhupada saying one purport in the Bhagavatam, if the Guru may caress the disciple, or he may slap the disciple. He say in both cases, he's giving his mercy. Mm-hmm. Do not make difference. I like the caressing mercy, Gurudev. Mm-hmm. The other one is like, and on top of that, you could say the chastisement is a special type of mercy, because you won't chastise everyone and everyone. You have to have some confidence, some trust. Srila Siddhar Maharaj said that once nicely. He said, oh, Gurudev has chastised me. That this was his logic. Oh, Gurudev has chastised me. That means that he considers myself his property. And he concluded, I'm saved. Because if Gurudev considers myself his property, I'm saved. And only he can chastise me if he considers myself his property. So that was his logic. No, it's not like, why he chastised me, why he treated me that bad, he doesn't love me, and so on. No, he concluded, I'm saved. So this is the idea here, no? Like, if the servant does something, not unbecoming, but something like strange, eccentric, if you want to put it like that, the master is forced to intervene for the servant, because the servant belongs to the master. He doesn't have independent existence. That's the same situation with, on another level, when Jai and Vijay, quote-unquote, offended the four Kumars. And eventually what happened, there was this big tumult in Vaikuntha. That thing doesn't happen in Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means without anxiety. For the first time, there was some anxiety in Vaikuntha. So the Kumars were about to curse and cursing the gatekeepers. And what happened? Vishnu appeared himself in person. Like saying, what's going on? What's happening here? What did my servants do? I'll take responsibility for that. Yeah. And the Kumars, I mean, they are pretty smart persons. So they realize, oh my gosh. God himself is coming personally and takes full responsibility for these two that we thought were offending us. Who are these two personalities? Actually, they are way above ourselves. Actually, we offended them. That's how the Kumars concluded eventually. But they realized all this by, oh, Vishnu himself is intervening in the name of his servants. And of course, similar dynamic is here when Vrindavanadas Thakur says, I'll kick your head. He's actually saying, Nitai, come and give further mercy to this rascal or whatever. So again, a day like today, we are trying to honor and celebrate the existence of Vrindavanadas Thakur, and I'm praying for that Asirvat, for that blessing. May someday he mercifully kick us in our heads, so the most merciful Nitai Chand may be forced to intervene in the name of his servant, and we may obtain the grace of them too. Sri Nitai Chand Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavanadas Thakur Ki Jai. So, and I don't know if we have some minutes, if you have any questions or comments.
Generally you can only give what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So building off this point of, you know, any acharyas having sakyabhava affinity,
mm-hmm.
where does, you know, Hariras fall into that when, for example, Prabhupada is giving us so much in his Krishna book and all of that, you know, with
mm-hmm.
Hariras, so how does that fit in?
Well, there are different ways of conceiving that, and of course this happened once, interestingly. One devotee came to one Prabhupada disciple, went to Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, and he went and said to him, Srila Puri Maharaj, some people say, they were saying, well, Srila Prabhupada is in, we know that Srila Prabhupada has affinity towards Sakyabhava, but some devotees are wondering, what about if it's that a problem if someone would like to obtain Madhurya Bhav, but their guru is in Sakyabhava? And the devotee was presenting the question like, if we have a problem here. Mm-hmm. No? And Srila Puri Maharaj replied like with the biggest form of like innocence, they're like, I thought Sakyarasa was a good thing. No? Like implying, you are presenting this like this is a problem that our gurus and Sakyarasa. I say, I thought that was pretty much an accomplishment. To be situated in a rab, many gurus may not have even attained that position yet. What is, you know? So the point is, if someone is on that side, if someone is really situated in that experience, that person can give you anything. And what do I mean by this? Even maybe that person may not have that specific other mood, but the arrangement will remain. And we have to understand also the principle of the guru. As we know, it's a complex tattoo and that requires another series of lectures altogether, but we know it's a servant of Hari, but Sakshat Harit Vena Samas, also Hari is expressing himself through that person. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes this point in his Jaiva Dharma, where the guru is showing himself to Brajanath and Bijay Kumar. And Brajanath and Bijay Kumar, they have different affinities, one's towards Sakya Bhav, one's towards Madhurya Bhav, but they see their guru, who is one same person, one appearing as Subal and one appearing as Lalita Sakhi. Mm. It doesn't mean that the guru is the two people and have two affinities, but according to the affinity of the disciple, guru is, who is Krishna in one sense side of the equation, is manifesting accordingly to nourish that particular side. Mm. And of course, when we also say that Srila Prabhupada has affinity for Sakya Bhava, as we say yesterday, it's more specifically that's Priyanarma Sakya Bhava. And in that Priyanarma Sakya equation, there is an ingredient of Madhurya Bhav. Mm-hmm. So it's not that there's totally devoid of that. And Priyanarma Sakas are very intimately connected with the Manjaris. So they can also, if you want to think like it, they can even make arrangements to create connections and inspiration with different sadhus with that particular affinity. So many things can happen. There's place for these things. And I can give you a last example in the opposite direction. Someone may have affinity for, I mean, similar situation. From Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Utkalika Balari, who is the last book he wrote, which is just one prayer after another with deep longing. And as we know, Rupa Goswami, his affinities towards Manjari Bhava, I mean, he's eternally Sri Rupa Manjari. But there's one verse that he's praying to, of course he's praying like a sadaka, like someone who wants to attain something although he's there. And he will pray to Subal so he can bless him to attain the service of Radha and Krishna. Mm-hmm. The famous verse. He says, Subala Vallava Varya Kumara Yur Daita Narma Sakastva Sid Braje Itita Yopurato Viduram Janam Chanamamun Kripaya Dhyani Vedaya. He says, O Subal, in Braj, you are the dear friend of Sinanda's son and Vrishabhanuraj's daughter. Please, place the case of this destitute person suffering in separation before your two friends for their kind consideration. Mm. No? So there's a place even like, okay, my Gurudev is in Sakya Bhav and he's close to Subal. So I will pray to Subal or my Gurudev who is in that department and Subal is so close to Radha and Krishna. So they can make all the arrangements for me to be admitted into that particular group. So, again, this is not just like black and white and there's only this way and things like this. There are different possibilities. I don't know if there is a message here. This one question of Priya M.
Okay.
Says, we have 1 minute?
Sure.
Okay. If the associates of the Lord in Krishna Lila are in Gaur Lila, and Navadvip is also eternal, so those associates exist in both places eternally? Yes.
Yeah.
Basically. And we are invited for the same thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that in Jaiva Dharma and Navadvip Bhavataranga. If you have an affinity in these two directions, you have two spiritual identities in Krishna Lila's Gopa or Gopi, depending your affinity, and in Gaur Lila as a Brahmin Kishore, a Brahmin boy will be serving Sri Guru, will be there, and so on. Mm-hmm. Of course, I know it's difficult to understand how will I be two people at the same time for eternity. It's not two people. Again, our mind still at the present moment. I mean, we have enough dealing with one people, one identity. So what to speak? Now you're speaking about two. Stop there, Maharaj. But yeah, that possibility is there. The more we get closer to that, that will be we will be able to accommodate that without a problem. So, okay, something else before finishing? I think we are on time. We're on time for art. Okay. Jai Srila Gurudev ki jai, Sriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nityananda ki jai, Abir Bap Mahotsav Titi Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur ki jai, Sri Ekadasi ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Bol.